Hello there. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, Tom Collins and Paddy Powers. Frank Hickey, looking ahead to the first Saturday of the year. We've got seven races on ITV4. Four from Sandown, three Upper Air. Fingers crossed the weather will be okay and the action will be on. We'll see what else the lads fancy on Saturday and we'll have a couple of tips for you from Sunday as well. And while we've got this august panel of judges, it would be a sin not to ask them for a Cheltenham tip after all the Christmas action. First of all, though, let's turn our attention to Sandown on Saturday. Like I say, four races on ITV4. And we start with the 150. It's the Unibet, three Uniboosts a day. Handicap chase over 2 miles. We're expecting the going to be soft. Frank Hickey, happy new year to you, my friend. I hope you're well. How do you bet on this one?
Happy New Year to you, Bruce, and all the lads as well. Yeah, this is our MBS race, money back, second, third, fourth. We're 9-4 Iblio, 3-1 Moonlighter, 4-1 Early Dilemma, 7-1 Hollywoodian, Durbin's 8-1, and we're 10s bar.
Keels, normally if I'm doing a New Year's Day podcast with you, I'm fearing that you're going to be croaky after a big night out, but obviously we can't go out, can we? So I'm sure you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and been studying hard, have you?
Oh, mate, it must have been about 20 years since I actually bothered going out on a New Year's Eve.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, you'd view that as an amateur's night out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just don't, you know, all these people stumbling over you drunk, don't need that, do you?
No, you've got the other 51 Saturdays for that. More importantly, though, you live very near to Sandown Park. So, A, you're not expecting weather problems. B, soft ground, yeah?
Yeah, Going Stick suggests it's worse than it was at the Tingle Creek meeting now. The going on the chase course at the Tingle meeting was no worse than good to soft. The times back that up, but it will be worse this time. And it'll be very, very deep on the hurdles course. But I was quite surprised this morning. There was no frost in the ground where I am. I'm a few mile away, so I doubt there'll be much of a problem.
Okay, who wins the 150?
150, I basically think anything 2-1 or bigger about Iblio is a reasonable bet. Now, he may have been toyed with by Sky Pirate at Cheltenham last time, but there's always a chance that Sky Pirate was absolutely thrown in if the drop to 2 mile worked, because he'd always travelled really well in high-class handicaps over further. And that proved to be how it was. Iblio went up £3, but take Sky Pirate out of the race and he'd won that race by 10 lengths and he'd gone up at least £10 himself. So I think he's still very much ahead of the handicapper. His two main rivals in the market, Moonlight and Early Dilemma, both fell last time. The latter fell really heavily at Ascot. So I think if there was a danger, it was Hollywoodian of Tom Simmons. He's got a 10-month break to come off. It was impressive when we last saw him at Hereford, but it's Iblio for me. I think it's a very solid fab.
Okay, now it's all right for old bastards like me and Kills not to have a New Year's Eve out because of COVID, but for a young gun like Tom Collins, who's in the prime of his life, it's a massive blow. So, Tom, what did you do?
I just stayed inside, played a few card games with the girlfriend, watched a bit of BBC One, a bit of Graham Norton, nothing spectacular, but it was an okay way to get rid of a poor year in 2020, hopefully much better this time around in 2021.
Sorry, my friend. Okay, well, kick us off with a winner then.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what Kiel's just said. There's likely to be a decent gallop with Darabin, Hollywoodian in the field. I don't think too many of them hold strong claims. Moonlighter and Early Dilemma fell last time, as Kiel said. I hate backing chases that fell last time out. Sam Benedito won't like the ground. Darabin's very one pace and the mark's probably too high now. So I just think Iblio's the clear standout in the race. The cliche is that Venetia Williams horses go best in the mud, but they do. I mean, it's just a fact. And he's been ultra consistent since returning from a monster absence in early 2020. I just think he's the best horse in the race. He was beaten by Sky Pirate last time, who was chucked in. That was on the drop back in trip. And I just think he'll win this. Get favourite backers off to a winning start.
Frank the Tank, what are you going to do here? Row in with the lads or plough a lone furrow?
No. I'm with the lads. As you know, I'm a massive fan of Sky Pirate and he was ultra impressive that day. I think there was no disgrace in being second to him, and actually a £3 rise for that second isn't harsh either. There was 10 lengths back to the third. Like, he's only had 5 chase starts ever, won his first two off 112 and 118 on testing ground. Even his second to Canelo in March looks really good for him now. Canelo was running off a £23 lower mark than what he's rated now, so there was no disgrace there. And even his second to Amula Gold as well, he was beaten A short head, a Moodle Gold's only beaten by First Flow by a neck on his next start off £6 higher. So all his form just adds up, and you'd be quite disappointed if he couldn't win this race now.
Okay, now Kiehl's and Frank, when we do our Cheltenham tip later on, you're not both allowed to go for Sky Pirate, okay? So you might have to have another one up your sleeve. The big race on Saturday is the 225. It's the Unibet Tolworth Novices Hurdle. It's a grade one. We've got eight runners. A lot of unexposed horses, dripping with potential. Let's see what the lads fancy. Actually, we've only got seven now, haven't we, Frank?
Yeah, disappointing. Adjamel is a non-runner. Metier is our favourite, 11 to 10. Galice McCallow, 11 to 4. Do Your Job, 11 to 2. Shake 'Em Up, Barry, 9 to 1, along with Smurfy Yankee. Grandeur Dam, 20 to 1. And Tile Tapper, 33 to 1.
Tom, have we got a potential star in the ranks here? Who wins this?
Well, the bookmakers seem to think that Metier is a potential star. And he's definitely a very good, nimble jumper, isn't he? He's so quick from A to B over his hurdles. But the form just isn't too strong of his two victories. And I know that Harry Fry said that he was toying going for the Grade 2 Kennel Gate rather than coming to the Tolworth. But then again, this just doesn't look like a red-hot addition, especially with Adramel out now. I think the form play in the race is probably Galice McCarlo, who gets the £7 mare's allowance. Though I was looking back at the Roll of Honour, I don't think a filly or mare's won this race. I'm not sure if they've always been allowed to run in it, but I look back, I think, to 1990 or something, and no filly or mare has ever won this race.
Now they're allowed to run in whichever race they like, or they've got an equivalent just for themselves, and they get 2 stone off, so it's a different game.
Exactly. But yeah, no, the form of Galice McCarlo is a clear standout, I think. She looked like recording the hat-trick after winning two novice hurdles, the second of which came at Stratford against the boys. So she's already proven against the boys, not just in her own sex kind of races. And she looked like recording the hat-trick last time in a listed race, but she was just chinned by the mercurial rogue that is Benson, who flew home and has subsequently flown home again to take fourth in the Betfair Exchange trophy behind Not So Sleepy. That form looks the clear standout on offer. Yes, Metier could be the best horse in the race, but he's just not proven against the likes of Benson, who's obviously a bit of a rogue, and you're not sure what he's going to produce. But I'll be with Galice McCarlo with the allowance on her side.
Thank you, Tom. Frank, have you got a strong view on this?
I had a very strong view on Adramel, and now he's a non-runner, so I'm a bit disgusted. Look, Metier, very useful in the flat for Andy Slattery. Wasn't disgraced when last seen there in October 2019, when fifth at Leopardstown off America 90. So he had loads of ability on the flat. And he has won heavy ground at Newton Abbot, but this is going to be a right test, isn't it? 2 miles around Sandown on that ground. And look, this isn't a confident selection, but the Grandeur Dam for Oliver Sherwood's a full brother Dominator, who obviously near enough the top of the market for the Welsh National, about fifth or sixth favourite. And I thought it was interesting that they're throwing him in here for his hurdles debut. He's very well backed on his bumper debut, ironically enough, on the same day Meteor made his hurdles debut. He was very well backed, won nicely, went to Cheltenham then, was quite keen that day, wasn't the strongest run race, finished second, beating a length and a half. I just think, being a full bird to Dominator, he's going to want 3 miles and testing ground, no issue for him here. And I just thought at 20 to 1, you could do worse than have a fiver on him in a race where the rest of them, yeah, Galice McCallow is very solid. And with her allowance, will probably run to a 140 kind of mark. But the rest of them are all around that, you know, high 130s. There's no superstar here, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, excellent stuff. So we've got Galice McCarlo for Tom. We've got Grandeur Dame for Frank. Kiehl's, are you going to go for the Fav?
No. I would be quite interested in place laying it, actually. I just had a look at Metier. I wasn't sure he was the strongest stay at a mile and a half when the ground was really soft or heavy in Ireland on the flat. And I know he's won 2 mile 2 furlough in heavy ground at Newton Abbot, but I mean, that was against trees. And again, the race at Ascot wasn't particularly good. So I think going into a better race and on what is going to be really sticky stuff, I just have my doubts about him. And I'm with Tom here. I think Galice McCarlo, I mean, you're talking about backing a horse for a grade one, having been beaten in a handicap off 10 stone one last time. It don't actually sound right, but it's not a very good grade one. The only thing I disagree with Tom Collins, I don't think Benson's a rogue at all. I just think he needs miles further than 2 miles now. He's on my list for the Coral Cup, believe it or not. I think that'll suit him down to the ground. But anyway, Galice McCarlo really, really did seem to like the heavy ground there. No surprises there. She's by Sadler Maker, same sire as Bristol DeMai. And I think it's a case of who's gonna handle conditions the best, and I think it'll probably be her.
Okay, chaps, thank you very much. I've described that as the race of the day, but I'm sure in Paul Keeley's eyes, our next race is the race of the day, the 3 o'clock, the Unibet Veterans Handicap Chase. It's the final of the brilliant Veterans Series. Loads and loads of runners, loads and loads of old favourites, and hopefully loads and loads of extra places, Frank.
Yeah, we're paying 5 places here, Bruce. Competitive race, Cross Park 6-1, Thrive and 7-1, Late Romantic 15-2, Potter's Legend 8-1, along with Jet Peck, last year's winner, Strong Pursuit 17-2, Manila Celebration 9-1, Voltour 10-1, and we're 12s bar.
Frank, we know all there is to know about all these lovely old stages, but it doesn't make it any easier, does it?
No, it's very competitive. I'm just going to stick with one that's been in a bit of form since returning this season after a wind up, and that's Potter's Legend. Thought he won nicely up in Warwick off a mark of 130. Was only beaten a length by Storm Control at Cheltenham off a mark of 135. Gets to run off the same mark here. Handles the ground. Will stay. 8-1. Yeah, you'd be disappointed. Didn't hit the 5.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. Keel's looking forward to this.
Yeah, I love it. It's a bit of a shame. This will be the first one I've missed in person, but there you go. Nothing we can do about that. I've backed a couple. One of them is Valtor, Nicky Anderson's 12-year-old. Looked really good a couple of years ago when he won at Ascot and went up to a mark of 160. Last year ran 2 cracking races at Taunton and Ascot, soft and heavy ground. This year, bit of a quiet run first time out at Ascot, and then ran in a qualifying race at Warwick, and he really cannot go left-handed, and he jumped badly all the way, but he still ran a far better race at Warwick than he ran at Ascot. I think, you know, he just got a little £5 drop for that. Off of a mark of 145, he's very dangerously handicapped now. I know you could say that about a lot of these horses, but some of his form is recent. Good form is recent. Believe it or not, the same you can say about Regal Flow, who's 14, one of the oldest horses in the race. He was beaten only a short head last year. It looks like, you know, this is his one last hurrah. He's had 2 runs at Sandown this year. He finished behind Cross Park both times, but the ground is going to be even softer this time, and I think that is going to suit him far more than it will Cross Park. He won a Midlands National, of course, at the age of 11. And believe it or not, the best 6 races of his life have come when he's been 11 or older on Racing Post Racings. So even though he's 14, he's probably still got a little bit to offer.
Like you, he gets better with age, Kills. If veterans chases on the mud are very much Paul Keeley's thing, I sense they might not be so much Tom Collins' sort of key races.
Yeah, I think you're correct there, Bruce. As I mentioned many times, 5 furlong sprints on the turf, all on the all-weather, in fact, are my bag. But I do like this race, and I'm going to be doing my best Parrot impression once again, because I'm with Keels and Valtor. And everything I've got written down, Kills has mentioned. He was ridiculously impressive in the Silver Cup on debut for Henderson. That was in late 2018. That came off a mark of 148. He's only won a novice hurdle since. But he put in two good efforts last year in 3-mile-plus chases, achieving RPRs in the 150s on both times, down to 145 after 2 runs this year. Yes, he ran in Sodexo Gold Cup on his return. He didn't seem to run his race then, but he might have needed it. And then last time out, he just doesn't go left-handed. So I think he's primed for a big run.
Thank you very much indeed. And finally, at Sandown, the 3:35, the Unibet Casino. Deposit £10, get £40 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Frank, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, Friend or Foe is our favourite at 15-4. A lovely price, that. Mr. Lecoq, 4-1. Guard Your Dreams, 9-2. Hobby, 102, 5-1. The Pink and 6-1. And we're 7-1 fair.
Paul Keeley, the game's gone 15-4. What's going on?
What's all that about, eh? It's all this decimal stuff, isn't it? Like, you know, let's you know, say what it is, whatever that is.
Would you be in favour of just going to decimals?
It wouldn't make any difference to me one way or the other, to be honest.
Okay. Fair enough. Who wins this?
Yeah, what it is. Well, I was trying to find something that I thought was, you know, that could be really well handicapped down the bottom of the weights, and I decided there isn't anything. So it's the top weight, Monsieur Lecoq. The one thing we know is that he will handle the ground as well, if not better, than anything else. And I think 9-2 is fair enough. He won this race 2 years ago by 9 lengths. Was much lower in the handicap then. But you've got to remember, last year he was second in the Betfair Exchange Trophy at Ascot to Not So Sleepy. When Not So Sleepy was rated 127 and he was rated 150. Not So Sleepy has won that race of 142 this year. And Monsieur Lecoq, he's a really, really strong finisher at 2 mile. Bit strange that he hasn't seemed to stay any further than that in 3 runs since then, one at Fontwell last year, one over fences, and then one in France. But what he has always been suited to is a really, really strong run race on soft, really deep ground over 2 mile. And there's no doubt whatsoever that it's going to be a strong run race because Highway 102 is in there, it goes really fast. And so, of course, there's Totter Down, who has first-time cheek pieces. Now, I always thought cheek pieces were supposed to wake you up. I mean, I can't think of a horse who needs any less waking up than Totter Down. But they're obviously going to go fast. It'll suit Monsieur Lecoq and he'll relish the hill.
Okay, Monsieur Lecoq is Kills' selection. Who's Tom's selection?
Well, Bruce, you're going to have to give me first dibs on one of these races because it's just going to be repeating Kills' reasoning for everything. I'm with Monsieur Lecoq again, and it's exactly the same reasoning. With Totter Down in the field, they're going to go a fast pace. And Monsieur Lecoq ran his best race when second in the Betfair Exchange Trophy behind Not So Sleepy in another fast run 2 mile race. I just think it's going to set up perfectly for him and the top weight will get it done.
Okay, I'll put you in before Kills when we do the air races, okay? Frank, who do you like?
I was down to two. Monsieur Lecoq was one, but I'm going to go with Highway 102, Bruce. Useful enough in bumpers. He hasn't worked out from over fences this year. He's fallen unseated in two starts. But looking at his hurdles form, he's 3 from 3, all on on heavy ground at Plumpton. He won by 19 lengths in not a very strong race. Followed up under penalty at Plumpton again on soft. But it's his Dovecot run that really catches my eye. He won really impressively by nearly 5 lengths from West Cork. But if you look at the horses that were behind him and very well beaten, he had Kid Commando, Buzz and Benson all miles behind him that day. He handles the ground. I just actually think a mark of 1.45 might underestimate him. If you take that form literally, Kid Commando's won an Ascot handicap this year already. His rating, I think the low to mid 140s. Buzz obviously bolted up at Ascot and ran really well following up in the Betfair Exchange Trophy. He's rated about the 150 mark. And Benson, of course, has won at Sandown and run really well in that same Ascot race. So if you're looking at that race, you could definitely make an argument that a mark of 145 is actually fair and potentially lenient for Highway 102.
Thank you very much. 2 votes for Monsieur Lecoq, 1 for Highway 101. That was Sandown. Next up, it's Air.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. 3 races on ITV4. Supplementing the Sandown action, come from Air on the West Scottish coast. The first is the 205. It's the Ayrshire Cancer Support Patient Transport Journeys Handicap Chase. Over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. There are 6 runners. The going is heavy and Paddy Power bet as follows.
Evander is a 9-4 favourite, but I do believe this is his second preference. He's in at Sandown as well. Johnny Sofa, 130. Flurry, 9-2. Guitar Pete, 5-1, along with Clan Legend. And Charmant is 8-1.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point about Evander. Okay, then, Tom, rather than living Kills' shadow as you had to at Sandown, picked everything you fancied, you can go first.
Well, if Evander does run, then it is the improver against the proven veterans, isn't it? The market's taken shape of the unexposed chaser as the one to beat. And he jumped very nicely last time, I thought. And he's unexposed after just 8 runs. But he likes to dictate matters. I think he's led in all 4 of his last starts. And with Flowery in the field, he's one of the keenest horses over this kind of trip you'll see. And I'm slightly concerned that he won't be able to adopt the tactics. Now, this is, of course, if Evander does run here. I think he's the one to beat. But then again, I don't think there's too much between him and Johnny Sofa. And the market, there's a slight disparity there, favouring Evander. So I'm going to be with Johnny Sofa at the better price. I think the race might set up for him. He's very lightly raced for his age. I think he's just had 14 starts and he's going to be, he's 11-year-old from today. He's done all of his winning on soft or heavy ground, so the conditions shouldn't be a problem. He's proven over 3 miles and he looked right back to his best last time out as well. So the added stamina on his side, over this shorter trip, which he won over last time out, I think Johnny Sofa is going to win, even if Evander does run. But if he doesn't, then the price is good.
Okay, Kills, has Tom stolen your thunder here?
No, not really. I mean, I don't particularly like this race at all. I mean, I'm sort of half keen to take on Evander. He got well held off marks of 125 twice, and then ran in a 4-runner race, won it easy, and went up £9. I think he's probably got it to do. I'm just not 100% keen on anything else. I might take a chance on the complete outsider, Charmant. He's completely, unreliable. But when he's good, he's very good. He's back to the same mark. He won by 23 lengths this month last year at Wetherby. Okay, he's been beaten 33 lengths by York Hill in the rehearsal chase last time. But, I mean, he was beaten 26 lengths by Maracuja in the might be the Castleford, I don't know. Yeah, it was the Castleford last year before coming out. Not a race I'll be lumping on at all, but he's certainly handicapped to win it if he's on a going day.
Radio and Frank.
Yeah, look, Evander probably won't run unless something happens to Sandown, which is very unlikely. And I kind of echo what Keith is saying, as Charmont might be worth siding with. Just a Johnny Sofa, I just worry he didn't really go on from winning on his reappearance last year, and he's gone up for that win on his reappearance this year. I'm just not sure he'll back it up. And looking at Charmont, is exactly what Keith said. Like, he's won by 23 lengths at Weatherby last year. He hasn't had too many goals at this sort of trip. The last day at Newcastle in the rehearsal chase, he was very badly hampered the 11th, and he would have been a stamina doubt anyway, up to just shy of 3 miles. Like, after he won at Weatherby, he was tried in the Brown Advisory, and obviously he was outclassed there. But he's now back on the same mark as Weatherby. And yeah, just set up this race. Wouldn't be surprised if he ran really well at a bit of a price.
Okay. Jolly good. Let's move on to the 240, the Support the Injured Jockeys Fund handicap hurdle. Over 3 miles and 70 yards. Frank, take it away with the show and then tell us who you fancy.
Yeah, Big Penny's 130, Illegal Model 7-2, Baby Ticker 5-1, Just a Tenner 6-1, Better Get Along and Port Storm and Has Trubel are all 8-1, and Donald's Diamond, the outside of the field at 10s. I thought Illegal Model, there's still a bit of upside to him. He's only had 3 runs under rules, hammered Springfield Fox over 3 miles on heavy ground on his rules debut. Last year, and has been third and fifth in 2 handicaps since, off marks of 130, 132. Last time was a decent Sandown handicap. The 4th Flimcara won next time out to give the farm a little bit of substance. We dropped a pound, and he's up against a bunch of mainly exposed types here. And yeah, at some stage, he's going to come good off that sort of mark. I'm just hoping it's tomorrow.
Illegal Model is Frank's selection. Tom, have you got a strong one for us here?
No, this is probably the race I'm the least keen on out of all of the ITV covered races. I came down on Baby Ticker though, the 3-time course winner. She has to race off a career high mark, but she beat an improving sort last time from the Tom Lacey stable, who was sent off at odds on, and you know who. She hit the line powerfully that day, and suggested the step up and triple probably suit to 3 miles. Although she is unproven, so she does come with question marks over the distance. Connor Wood, the £7 amateur, he clearly gets on really well with her. He won on her last time. He's very young, but he's quite talented. He looks like a potential star for the future. Whether Baby Ticker is good enough to defy the new mark is a question. Same with the distance, but she was the one I came down on. At least she's open to improvement at the trip.
Okie dokes, Keels.
Yeah, tricky one, but I thought I went back to Just a Tenner, who 3 starts ago beat Highland Hunter here. Highland Hunter went on to be third to Main Fact in that Grade 3 handicap at Haydock. Now, Just a Tenner was down the field in that, finished 10th, and then got well beaten at Carlisle, but he always gets well beaten at Carlisle. And it's his Haydock form that's interesting. He's run there 3 times. He's won 2 on the other occasion. He finished 2nd at Taking Risks. The season that Taking Risks ended it by winning the Scottish National. So I think he's got solid form there. I don't think anything in the race is particularly well handicapped, so a bit of course form on the ground for me.
Thank you very much. And the 3:15 at air, the retraining of racehorses handicap chase to Class 2, over 3 miles. And we've got 5 runners as things stand, although there is a first preference for one of them. Frank, what's Paddy Power's latest bet for me?
Yeah, Taking Risks is 13-8, Strong Economy 9-4, Late Romantic 5-2, but of course Sandown's Veterans Chase is first preference. Minetti 13-2, Sutton Mallard 11-1.
Keels, what's your enthusiasm levels like for this one?
I can't say it's the best betting in the world now, can you? But I mean, Taking Risks will win it. He's a class apart from the 3 that will run against him. 2 of those are going to be out of the handicap. And, you know, he ran a perfectly good race in the rehearsal, finished 4th to York Hill. It looked like he was going to be beaten 20 lengths, turning for home. Horse fell right in front of him a couple of fences before they left the back straight, and he jumped a bit stickily for the next 2. And like I said, it looked like they were going to drop him, but he flew in the end. He was only beaten just over 6 lengths on good ground. At 3 mile, he needs it. He needs much more testing service. He gets that. He's won the Scottish National here. He'll just win.
Well, you make a very good case for 13-8 shot. I'm enthused. Frank?
Yeah, I was going to tentatively put up Taking Risks, but I might be a bit more bold after listening to Keely and say he had. Yeah, look, Keely's bang on, like, as in, it's just a much easier race for him. And yeah, stamina, comfort out of the handicap as well. Yeah, he should take all the beating, really.
And Tom.
Yeah, three votes for taking risks. Surely he's probably the best short price favourite on the day. A barren Saturday, it has to be said. But he's just by far the classiest horse in the race. He won the Scottish National here in 2019, a course and distance chase the previous year. Performed well second time up after a wind surgery last time on ground that, as Kiel said, was too quick for him. The main market rival in this race, Strong Economy, struggled to get up in a 0-125 last time out. And his jumping is very shoddy. I think taking risks will just win this.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's the TV action. Let's see what else the boys fancy.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, Tom Collins, and Paddy Power's Frank the Tank Hickey. We've done the ITV4 action. Now let's see where else there are some decent Saturday value wagers. Paul Keeley, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I just got a one at Sandown. I think it's very interesting. There's going to be two horses that dominate the market in the 115. Destiny Royale, who hasn't won for 10 months, and Evander, whose form I'm not 100% certain about. And the horse in that race is Sperodek. Now, he's getting on a bit. He's 10 now. And it's a long while since he ran over fences. But, you know, the last time he ran over fences, he ran off a mark of 145. And the handicapper now lets him run off 126 because he's been getting beat over hurdles. Last time he ran over hurdles at Carlisle, he made a fairly ludicrous move to circle the field after an attempt at restraint didn't really work. And he still finished fourth, beating just under 10 lengths. So I thought that was a fair run, a sign that he might be returning a bit of form. He's run at Haydock three times over fences. He's won two of them, including on this card. And he finished sixth in an Imperial Cup off a mark in the 140s. He's running off 126 now. He'll go from the front, hopefully. And he could get a lot of them in trouble at a big price.
Well, let's not forget, Kills. He was only seven lengths behind Under So off level weights at Ascot.
Yeah, he had ability. Now, he has lost a lot of that ability, no doubt about it. But I just like the fact that he's coming back here for his first run over fences.
Okay, Tom, what other Saturday sizzlers have you got?
Well, I tried as hard as I could to find an all-weather banker for the punters at Lingfield or at Wolverhampton, but I just couldn't find one. So we're going to the US, Bruce. We're going to Aqueduct, the 850 Aqueduct, the Gravesend Stakes. It's a $100,000 contest and only five runners are going to post. The selection is Stan the Man. There won't be too much pace on in this race. You've got Drafted in the field. He ran in the Windsor Castle as a two-year-old. And then went to Maidan and had a long campaign there. But he's largely regressive. Happy Farm returns off 10 months off. He won't win first time back. Pete's Play Call, this is a big step up in grade. I can't be having him either. And then you've got My Boy Tate and Stan the Man, who are going to dominate the market. My Boy Tate is better known for his efforts against New York Breds. This is an open company stakes event, and which leaves Stan the Man, who beat My Boy Tate impressively in the Tale of the Cat Stakes. He was sent off at odds on that day, Stan the Man. I think his morning line price is 15-8 for this Gravesend Stakes. And he's just going to get the best trip, and he should just win this. He was miles off the speed last time in grade three company. He drops back down in class. I just think Stan the Man's the best banker of the day anywhere in the 850 Aqueduct.
Excellent. Thank you. And Tom Collins in 2020 proved himself to be one of the best US judges around. So hopefully he can continue that form into 2021. Frank, what do you like on Saturday?
I just have won Wolverhampton, the 640, a tricky little novice over a mile and a half. Benedetti was a beaten favourite Newcastle on debut, and Loch Naver was second to the nice Ocean Road last time out over a mile. But I'm going to stick with the previous winner, Napper Tandy. Just touched off on debut at Lingfield October, got off the mark at Kempton over a mile last time on a second start. Carries a penalty for that, but William Carver takes five off, so effectively only has no penalty. And the second, Muse, has won easily since, as has the fourth, Papa's Dream, who was beaten nearly five lengths. So I think Napper Tandy should improve the step up to a mile and a half. And I think you might get a relatively fair price in the small field with the Haggis horse and the Godolphin one in against them getting weight.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed. Frank, right, let's get the Saturday naps. Paul Keeley, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I think I'm sure in the close of Sandown, 3:35, I believe.
Okay, Tom Collins.
Two votes for Monsieur Lecoq, 3:35 at Sandown.
Frank Hickey.
150 Sandown Iblio.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Let's look ahead to Sunday, where we've got racing at Fairy House, including a Grade 3 mare's chase, in which I think Shattered Love runs. We've got the Sussex National on at Plumpton, and there's an all-weather card over at Southall. Plus, also, sorry, we're not forgetting Catterick as well. Catterick over the Sticks. What do you fancy on Sunday, Tom Collins?
Well, it's going to be a forecast play in the 153 at Plumpton. The top weight, Annual Invictus, has to give £10 plus to his rivals, but he won his last two starts in impressive fashion for trainer Chris Gordon. He's probably going to be sent off a short price, but he should win. The key is to find him second in this race. And I think stablemate Albert Hucklebuck will take second. I was on Sky Sports Racing when he made his debut behind Bumpy Johnson, who looks a really smart prospect for David Pipe. I know he's been beaten since, but that was in a decent novice hurdle. I think he finished third last time out. But this Albert Hucklebuck, he showed a really nice change of gear close to home. He looked all at sea to start as the pace quickened in that race. But he stayed on nicely under Richard Johnson, who maintains the ride. I think he'll follow home his talented, more experienced stablemate to give Chris Gordon a 1-2 in the 153 at Plumpton.
Thank you very much indeed. Frank, what are your Sunday fancies?
Yes, very interesting racing. Over Fairy House, the 110 Mayor's Hurdle over just shy of 2 miles, 3 furlongs. You've got Hook Up, Royal Cahala, Queens Brook, and Delvino. Delvino's the one I like here. If you go back to our bumper debut, it was the race Bally Adam made his bumper debut. Obviously, was massively hyped, but she travelled like the best horse in the race that day. She hit the front, travelling extremely well, and just got kind of outstayed, maybe done for the experience by Julie Stowaway. Julie Stowaway finished seventh, I think, in the champion bumper, so it's very useful. And obviously, Bally Adam won a Grade 1 over hurdle since. She got off the mark in bumpers at Down Royal very easy on her next start, had a break, came back at Nace last month in a decent mare's hurdle, and she was very weak on the show that day, to me suggesting the run was needed, but she couldn't have been any more impressive. She absolutely came there swinging. Now, a couple of hurdles were left out because of the sun, but she won very easy. I think that's going to prove to be quite strong form. The second, Castrovetera, had won a listed bumper. A line through her gives Delvino the beating of Royal Cahala here. Royal Luton was third then. She had been third in the Irish Cesaro, which off 94. So it's a really solid run. And even I'd say the fourth and fifth from that race as well would go on and win races. As I said, I think she'll improve the run. And I'm hoping she'll win here. If she does win here, I think she's a big player in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. There's an awful lot to like about her. 250.
Hang on a sec, Frank. You haven't really told us enough about Delvino. Just elaborate on that a little bit.
I just really like her. I think she's a really...
I can tell, mate. What have you got for us next?
250, the Grade 3 Mayor's Chase, Salsaretta. She's four from five over fences. Fell at the first last one on the handicap and punched her off mark 148. She was only 5-1 the market that day. It was competitive handicap. She concedes weight all around here. Cabaret Queen probably comes out just best at the weights, but I think Salsaretta will probably take a bit of beating there. And just want to keep an eye on the bumper. Ginto, Willie's got What Do You Want, who's a half-brother hardline in Sanger River, but Ginto won his point by 12 lengths, cost £470,000, and bought by Noel and Valerie Moore and Garden Trains. Just be worth keeping an eye on him. If he wins impressively, he might launch himself into the champion bumper market. Just over Catterick, I've got two. 1227, Bareback Jack, Wide Martin Point winner who won a rules debut at Musselburgh. The second, Long Stay, won next time out, and the fourth, Lord Tranga, who was beaten 18 lengths in that race under a penalty, is rated 124, so I think he'll take a bit of beating. And just want to keep an eye on the market. The 337, the 2 mile handicap hurdle, McGarry, could never really get into the last day at market race, and was out the back the whole way. Caught my eye staying on into fifth. Market support should definitely be noted there.
Excellent. Well done, Frank. That's superb. Some good Sunday ammo for us there. Kills, anything to add for Sunday?
Yeah, a couple. Sussex Nash to start with. A little salty boy has now demonstrated twice in a row that he really wants a marathon staying trip. He gets it for the first time in the three-mile, four-and-a-half furlong race. He was third last time to Sam's Adventure and the Tommy Whittle at Haydock, and he was really just only getting going up the straight. So I think he's going to improve for the step up and trip. And a catcher, probably a shorter price in a competitive enough race, but Sigurd has a £7 penalty for winning last week over at the track, and he won so easily. He's got to be very close to going in again. He'll certainly be well in.
Sort you boys in the 2:25. What time's your Catrick selection?
3:07.
3:07. Okay. And before you go, as promised, there's been so much thrilling, intriguing action over Christmas that it would be a sin not to get the lads' fresh perspective on Cheltenham. One horse that ran over Christmas that you thought, that looks like that could well make its mark at the Cheltenham Festival, from you each, please. Tom Collins, we'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I've long been a fan of the Boss's Oscar, and Gordon Elliott seems to target this Potemps final. He's won it for the last 3 years, Side of Burley the last two. And I landed my biggest Cheltenham punt on Side of Burley a couple of years ago when he won this race, although it was a massive struggle and I was panicking the whole way around because Barry was pushing away down the back straight. But this, the Boss's Oscar, has been primed for the race. Perfect little qualifier, went second at Leopardstown on the 28th of December. He finished second to Dandy Mag that day. He travelled beautifully. Didn't really get going until after the last, once Dandy Mag had gone past. And still then, Brian Cooper just kind of nudged him out hands and heels. He achieved an RPR of 1.52 that day. He's at least going to be £10 well in. I think he's gone up £4 or £5 for that effort. So he's now up to 1.42. At least £10 well in when it comes to Cheltenham. Perfect qualifier. I think the Boss's Oscar wins the Potemps. Banker of the meeting for me.
Lovely. Thank you, Tom. Frank, what about you?
It's a bit annoying because two I would have would be Sky Pirate and the Boss's Oscar. But I go for one at a big price. I do think the Boss's Oscar has been laid out for this. I've been going on about him for a while. I touched it really nicely. Leopardstown and Sky Pirate look 2 miles just the making of him. I'm sure Paul will get to that there now shortly. But one of the price that might not be on everyone's radar is Fakira for the Albert Bartlett. Second season novice, finished second some nice types last year over 2 miles. Beat Gabinaco this year. Then won, was it a grade three at Navan over 2.5, staying on really strongly. And was second to Ashdale Bob. Again, got really badly outpaced and ran on strongly for second. I think he's crying out for 3 miles. And just even looking at that Albert Bartlett market, you could definitely say there's a lot of them near the head of the market that won't run, like Brave Man's Game, Appreciated, Queens Brook, Stargate, even Ashdale Bob, Ingolo. Like, loads of them won't run. This fella's 25-1. I think he'll probably run in them grade one at Nace over 2.5, but I can't wait for him to go up to 3 miles.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. Kills?
Yeah, well, we all know about Sky Pirates. Let's go to something else. Now, I don't know where he's going to go, what he's going to do with him at Cheltenham, even if he'll go there. But Royal Pagale, the only horse Susanna Ritchie has outside of Willie Mullins, won so easily at Kempton. Race of Post Ratings gave him a figure of 160. Now, bear in mind that Shan Blue, the day before, won the Grade 1 Quarto Star. Race of Post Ratings gave him 153. Monkfish won at Leopardstown, the same ownership as Royal Pagale, got 160. Royal Pagale is a novice. He might want a handicap. He is a novice. Judged on what he's done there, he is the best staying novice in Britain, at the very least, at the moment. Very interesting. Don't know what they'll do, because obviously Monkfish will go. Is a very warm favourite for the RSA, and that would be the obvious choice for him too. But just keep an eye on him. I don't know what the handicap is going to do with him, but he looks very good to me.
Kills, I want to ask you a question here, and I don't want, I'm not scaremongering here, I'm just putting it out there. Do you back an Irish trained horse now for Cheltenham with complete confidence that the virus is going to be less of an issue, and that the travel ban that affected horses over Christmas will be a thing of the past by then?
Yeah, that's a very difficult one, isn't it? I mean, you would have thought, I mean, if we're 2.5 months in and we haven't had any sort of relaxation, then I think we'll all be pulling what's left of our hair out, won't we? Yeah, but you don't know.
I just wanted to put it out there, because, I mean, I know bookmakers will probably look favourable.
Says we'll be back to normal by the 5th of April, so if we aren't even allowed to fly into the country by the 10th of March or whatever it is, then we really are in trouble. So I'd say it'll probably be happened, but you just never know.
No, I just wanted to put it out there. That was all. Anyway, there's only two people in the Racing Post Office at this moment, myself and Graham Rodway. So, Graham, come round here, and why don't you give us your Cheltenham your fresh Cheltenham fancy after the Christmas. What do you fancy, mate?
I thought that Brave Man's Game was wildly impressive when he won the cello. He jumped, reminded me a little bit of Denman. They jumped so well, stayed on very, very strongly. I think he'd be very difficult to beat wherever he goes at Cheltenham, probably the Ballymore by the looks of it.
Brilliant. Thank you, G-Rod. Excellent. A nice little bonus selection there. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed to Paul, to Tom and to Frank for their excellence. Don't forget, if you're new to the Racing Postcast, welcome along. We've got a Friday show every week looking ahead to the weekend. And also on Monday, the lovely Maddie Playle is here to review the action and look ahead to where the early value is for the following weekend. So do join her next Monday. We'll be back next Friday. Please bet responsibly, bet safely. Have a great weekend. Wrap up warm and join us next week for some more great racing postcasts.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.